Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But that's going to be in the context of what I think everyone is expecting to be a major roster overhaul. So next year's 49ers, that's going to be all sorts of mischief and mayhem. For now, we can, we can think that I think the 49ers messed this up, but in the end, they may have taken like five different attempts, but they wrote the right answer on the page. Brandon Ayuk is going to be a 49er for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Well said. I like that. It's like in math class when you get the right answer, even though you did the math completely wrong, like you accidentally get it right. So that's concerning. But as you say, did they handle it correctly? Probably not. Especially if they knew what it was going to take the whole time. And then similar as they did with Bosa last year, where they just sort of finally like, okay, fine, we'll just do whatever you want. Just sign the contract, which kind of seems like that's the way it's kind of worked out. But anyway, all right. So obviously with that taking care of the focus of when's this guy going to get what he deserves, turns to Trent Williams. Trent, of course, signed a free agent contract with the 49ers back in 2021. At that point, it was a six-year, $138.06 million contract with a $30 million signing bonus, $55 guaranteed. He actually had it's a $30,100,000 signing bonus and a $55,100,000 guaranteed with an average annual salary of $23.010 million. As I recall, I think that last number was like, we're going to get just a little bit, we're going to just push you just higher than the guy who was the highest paid guy ahead of you. That was what that was about. So we've reached, we've reached the potential out point of the contract, although the dead money is pretty huge at this particular point. But really the bigger issue with Trent's contract, and has been pretty much all along, is twofold, so far as we can tell. We don't really know, because he hasn't said anything. We don't know anything about what's going on. He's not been at camp. He hasn't shown up, everything like that. One, the thought is that he wants to go back to being the highest paid player at his position, because he's been taken over in terms of average annual value by a couple of players
We're not on the same stratosphere as him too. Like, I think
right. Tristan Wirfs, Penei Sewell, Christian Darrisaw, Laremy Tunsil, Andrew Thomas are above him. I think the only player you could make even a slight, I mean, Sewell's good, but he's a right tackle. So it's a different scenario there. And Tristan Wirfs is probably the closest guy that you could probably make a case about it. But I think there's, even at 38 years old, I don't think there's really a whole lot of debate about who the best player on that, 36, sorry, Trent, who the best player there is. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that he doesn't have any more guaranteed money left in the contract, and he wants guaranteed money. Money that's left on the contract. It's like 60 something million left on the contract, but none of it's guaranteed. And so he just wants that money and not really sure what's going on. And nobody really knows. The weird part is that Kyle Shanahan has been more optimistic about this deal getting done than he had about the Ayuk deal getting done. And yet here we are, the Ayuk deal is done and Trent Williams still sitting at home.
That's a good point. I mean, I think it's because this is a contract where it's like, you're just going to have to pay him what he wants. There's not really a negotiation here. Because you know exactly what he wants. Well, I mean, you don't know exactly what he wants, but you kind of know what he wants, right? Like, it's different. Ayuk, there's like a legitimate question of value, I think. But Trent plays, even though the 49ers seem to undervalue the offensive line, Trent plays what is, I think, traditionally considered the second or third most important position on offense, and like the third or fourth most important position in the NFL at large. And he plays it really well. Like, there's no doubt that he's the best offensive tackle in the NFL right now. And when you put all that together, it seems like pretty clear what you're going to want to have to do. It's just about putting pen to paper. So I don't really know what's going on. I'm a little worried that the Niners are trying to hardball him a little bit, which would be really dumb, but that's the San Francisco 49ers negotiation strategy, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, the especially strange part is because we just got done having the conversation, the ownership is willing to shell out guaranteed money. So I just don't understand. Maybe they can't do this. I don't really know. Why they can't just like figure out some way to be like, all right, your base salary is the veteran minimum. Your cap hit is like the minimum amount of money that a cap hit can be. Here's 75 million. Like, you know, basically do what Deshaun Watson got from the Browns, but a significantly less money, right? Like, here's $75 million guaranteed, or whatever's left on his contract. I don't think it's 75 million. It's whatever the cash is that's left. All of it's guaranteed. I don't know. I really don't. Obviously, I don't know how these things work. But it's very confusing, because as you were talking about before we started, it's the fact that it's those two things being simultaneously what he wants. Like, because if it were just all the money that I want to make sure that all the money that's left in my contract is all the money that I get, I feel like it would be fairly simple to just convert all that into a signing bonus and be like, you're good, there we go. But clearly it's more than that. I feel like that AAV thing really is a bigger deal than it seems. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, I guess, because I don't know exactly off the top of my head how it would impact to the salary cap, but my guess is it wouldn't be good. So I think I think the Niners are doing some sort of like negotiation with Trent on top of like having to plan out the carnage that will happen in the next couple of years with all these contracts. And I mean, the reality is, right, like, Trent's phenomenal. He's arguably the best player in the NFL. If you discount position, he's the best offensive tackle, but he's also 36 and has professed, but also went through a major health crisis in his life, deals with injuries just about every year that he plays through and kind of manages, and has professed that other than winning a Super Bowl, his main goal is to just be the all-time Pro Bowl lingus. That's not a word, but you get the point.
right. Pro Bowls by an offensive lineman. Yeah.
Which happens this year. So I think the Niners, if to give them the slightest bit of credit, I can see a point where they're like, if we guarantee, I don't know, $50 million for Trent, and then he retires, that money doesn't go away. That sits on the cap, which is different than if he retires with non-guaranteed money. So I can maybe that's where they're getting concerned, is that they don't want to end up holding the bag on like a 20 million dead cap charge for a guy who's not playing on their team anymore when they need all that money because they're playing
right. I mean, the weird part about it is if you look at his contract now, like, this is the last, as far as a cap hit is concerned, this season is the last like reasonable number that he'll be playing on a cap hit on the original contract. It's just a $10.75 million in change. Next year, in 2025, when he'll be 37 years old, it jumps up to $34 million, just over $34 million. In 2026, when he's 38 years old, it'll be just a hair under $38 million cap hit. So you kind of got to wonder if this is kind of the benefit of the 49ers anyway. Like, they probably would have wanted to do something with those numbers either way. And so maybe there's something else going on there as well. Like, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I'm not really a math person, so I just look at all these numbers. I'm saying a lot of numbers, and it kind of making my head hurt a little bit. I don't know. So maybe in the end, this ends up working out for everybody. You know, Trent gets his cash. 49ers get a little cap hit leave for the next couple of seasons. But yeah, you definitely are concerned about a guy who's 36 years old and being like, hey, look, we need and you can't look at him in the eye and be like, hey, we need, if you are going to do this, we need you to guarantee that you're going to play for the next three seasons. Because you also wouldn't want, like, if he takes some kind of precipitous fall off a cliff, right? You also don't want to be on the hook for some guy who's 38 years old and can't cut it anymore. That's also something to think about, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think the age is the, well, biggest, like, Captain Obvious statement ever. The age is the issue here. If Trent Williams was 30, this contract would have been done the second he asked for the extension. I mean, the Niners did it already with Christian McCaffrey. It's you can't project Trent out anymore. Because the fact that he's this good right now is kind of absurd already. And you don't know how long he's going to be this good and how long he's going to want to play. It's just impossible to tell.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was probably even unreasonable to give him 6 years in 2021 when he was 33, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was a projection in and of itself to say at 38, you're still going to be good enough to justify this kind of output. And maybe he will be. And frankly, even if he sticks around and he plays at 80% of himself over the next 3 years, I think we'll still be like, okay, he's still pretty good. There'll probably be a little bit like, is he a little overpaid at this point? I don't know, maybe, but he'd still be one of the best left tackles in the league if he was playing at 80% of where he's been throughout his career, for sure. But I don't know. I guess we'll just wait and see. At this point, it seems pretty likely that he's going to miss week one. I think that's almost assured at this point. I don't know. That's concerning for sure. I mean, the good news is the Jets and Hassan Reddick are also in a very similar situation. So that's one less pass rusher they have to worry about. I don't like it. I don't like the thought of the Jets, who have a pretty good defense, getting, you know, having the quality of the offensive line, as we'll get into here in just a little bit, I'm sure, diminishes pretty quickly without Trent in the lineup for sure.
I'm willing to argue that the Jets are the best defense the 49ers will play this year. Yeah. And to do that without Trent, that's scary. That's legitimately scary. And with like a 50% Ayuk and whatever, like the Niners are they're not making it easy for themselves, but they never do. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is if that's the best defense they'll play all year, then that means everything else should be easier from here on out. So anyway, all right. So let's talk about the roster a little bit. We don't have to get into all the details of the roster, but obviously the 49ers released their initial 53-man roster on Tuesday afternoon. That group has already changed in a couple of different ways since the initial announcement. But that was to be expected. That's why they call it the initial 53-man roster. They also have their practice squad in place. It's a very interesting group, from the practice squad perspective. By and large, let's see, so I'm just kind of looking through, it's pretty much all players that were with the team during training camp, save four. Terrace Malice. I want to call him Terrence Marshall, but his name is Terrace Marshall. Terrace, like you know, go out into the terrace. Marshall Jr. is a wide receiver who was with the Panthers for last two couple seasons. And then Jonathan Garvin, a defensive lineman who they got from the Packers, who was with the Packers most recently. But the rest of the players were all guys that they had in training camp. Not terribly surprising. That tends to be how they tend to operate. And I think most teams tend to operate that way just because you've been with these guys, you know these guys. They get through waivers, you bring them back. But yeah, so I obviously we don't have to get into all the details here, but let's just talk sort of generally. Let's talk first and foremost. What was who was the player or players that you were like most surprised to see make that initial 53-man roster? Or you can even look at it like the 53-man roster that exists now, which is pretty close to what it was when they announced it on Tuesday afternoon, give or take a few players.
There were a lot, which is I think a pretty good. We went through our mock 53-man roster selection, in which I chose 54 players, I think. And at the end of it, I just had this like sense of being like, oh, I feel pretty confident, roughly speaking. I don't think I've ever been more wrong about who the 49ers will keep on a roster in the like 7 years I've been like writing about this team now. It's just been, it was absurd. I think the biggest ones to me is I'm surprised they kept Curtis Robinson, despite the fact that he played really well, just because it kind of seemed to me that Jalen Graham's, the benefit of his contract would keep him on the roster. So that was interesting. I'm surprised that they kept, I'm going to mess up his name, which is exactly how you know that I was surprised he kept him. I think it's Jake Togus.
Tongas, I think.
Tongas?
Yeah.
Tongas.
Yeah.
Jake Tongas, as tight end two, that was absurd to me.
Momentarily. But
yeah, that's true. And then Patrick Taylor, I think, was surprising, especially because when the news came that they put Elijah Mitchell on season-ending IR, I thought that would be a perfect way to keep a guy like Cody Schrader, who, you know, kind of flashed in training camp or preseason. But going with Taylor, the veteran option, means they really are confident in Jordan Mason and Isaac Grando. And Isaac Grando, I think, picked up another hamstring injury or something. So, great start.
Those fast guys. I was definitely right there with you on those guys. A couple of weird, like, IR things they did, like keep Ambry Thomas on the roster, which caused them to lose like a Jalen Graham who went to Cleveland, I think. Cody Schrader, who you mentioned. Oh, Washington, sorry. Cameron Watts, who went to Cleveland, the tight end who they also let go. So interesting there. Cody Schrader went to the Rams. And then Sam Womack, I believe, went to Indianapolis or Philadelphia. I don't remember. One of those two. I think it was Indianapolis. Yeah, yeah. So they lost a couple of good players that you're kind of interested in. The other one that was problematic, and I think was the one where like keeping a guy like Ambry Thomas was strange but also hurt them, was the only draft pick from last season that they didn't end up keeping on the roster, which is Jarrett Kingston. He is in Carolina now. I'll let you know if I run into him at any point, which, you know, bummer. Sorry, Jarrett. One of the best teams in the league cut you, and then you went to the Panthers. Let's just all say that. And I think that hurts the offensive line depth, especially because we were talking about Trent Williams. This team has two offensive tackles on the roster right now.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
That's it, just two. Jalen Moore and Colt McKivitz, and that is it. The rest of their offensive, their depth guy, they obviously have their starting guards, Aaron Banks, Dominic Cooney. They obviously have Jake Brendel, who's expected to be the starting center. But then you look at Ben Barch, Spencer Burford, Nick Sakell, all interior guys. I mean, technically, Sakell was a tackle in college, but he went to Fordham. Not a school playing at the highest level. So I guess you could say in a pinch, Nick Sakell is the swing tackle, but they also were looking at him at center. So I don't think they really consider him a tackle at all. So it was a little strange that they didn't end up keeping anybody, you know, an additional tackle there. And then they didn't put anybody on the practice squad who could also cover that either. Drake, so it's just like really, really hinging a lot on Trent Williams being back, because otherwise you're in real trouble here early on.
And then it's still bad because
true,
you have the one swing tackle. That's ridiculous. The offensive line, I mean, this is like a perfect example of the 49ers just almost failing to like get quality offensive tackle depth on their roster. Mm-hmm. This has been an issue time and time again. They just don't target it in the draft. They haven't even gone after it at all. And then lo and behold, you get to a point where, wow, you really would like to have a second, third year, you know, fifth round pick who's kind of like become a serviceable backup. And you don't have that anymore because you mm-hmm. haven't drafted a guy like that. And I just think it's like, the 49ers have built arguably the best roster in the NFL. So they do something right. But this is one of the areas right. where I think they really missed the mark in roster construction.
Yeah, and it's very strange because, like I said, Sakell was a tackle in college, but they projected him as an interior guy. And there was a couple of other guys like that, like guys who were tackles and like offensive tackles in college, but they projected them as interior guys. And I don't know. I just don't understand that. I guess Dominic Cooney played some tackle as well, did he not, at Kansas? Is that right? Did I make that up?
It was left tackle.
Yeah, but, so.
I mean, I think the perfect example is, if I remember correctly, Jalen Moore was supposed to be interior, but they had so many injuries that they ended up bouncing him and keeping him at tackle. Like, that's the extent to which they've been targeting former collegiate tackles who now play inside is that their swing tackle and their starting left tackle as of right now on the 53-man roster was supposed to be a guard in the NFL, but they didn't have enough depth for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird blind spot with this team that they've been able to cover up because Trent Williams has been on this team since 2020.
Before that, you had Joe Staley.
Right, and so you literally have gone from Joe Staley for the first 3 years of this regime, then went right into Trent Williams, and they were able to they've been able to cover it up for years now. But it's, as we've talked about with Trent Williams, eventually it's going to come back to bite them. And if they just really need, like, they need to draft a legitimate tackle who they think is going to actually play tackle in this league for a little while. I mean, technically they did with Mike McGlinchey, but he's gone now too. I don't know. It's all very strange. There's certainly some other things that are confusing to me, like the fact that they kept seven wide receivers, and not just seven wide receivers, Akshaz, but they also have 1, 2, 3 of them on the practice squad. With Trent Taylor and Tay Martin, and then the aforementioned Terrace Marshall. I suspected that this was like cover for the fact that Ayo cannot signed and then didn't show up for practice on the first day of post-training camp. And then the fact that Ricky Pearsall has been in a non-contact jersey for most of training camp. So I wonder if we're going to see, I don't know, like them drop one of those guys on the practice squad for an offensive lineman, or possibly like a Ronnie Bell gets cut and they make room for someone else where they need it more. Because I think for the most part, their depth is pretty good across the board with the exception of like offensive line. I think you could probably make a case the defensive line is a little thin as well, but I think for the most part, they've done a good job of building good depth. Cornerback room looks great. You know, running back room looks pretty good as long as everybody's healthy, that kind of thing. But they have 10 wide receivers on their roster, including the practice squad, which is just nuts for a team that doesn't use more than three of them at a time most of the time.
I agree 100%. I will say I like the practice squad. I think Trent, Tay Martin, and Terrace Marshall, that's a pretty good three. Or, you know, you're looking at some upside and some veteran reliability. But the real issue is that it's nothing against Ronnie Bell, who I think played quite admirably for a seventh-round pick last year. I just don't see how his, like, performance really justified a roster spot, especially at the expense of another position. The 49ers are struggling a little more in depth-wise. And I do wonder if that's the domino to fall. I mean, you can make the case that Trent Taylor was more impactful than Ronnie Bell in preseason at the very least. You can make the case that Martin was as well. So
sure.
I don't know. That's a bit of a tough one for me. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that we're gonna see some more fluctuation in this group before the week is out. If not, by the time you're listening to this. By the way, let's not shortchange our man Ronnie Bell. He was a sixth-round draft pick, not a seventh-round draft pick, so get it right. I'm just kidding. It's still late in the day. So, so lots of things there. Any move that you were like, yeah, that was really good. I'm really excited that they brought this guy in. And like maybe an under-the-radar kind of guy?
The pause is indicative of the fact that I don't think the Niners did a lot on the margin. I think keeping Rocky Sin was smart.
Mm-hmm.
I think he seems like the type of guy who could really help in a pinch. So I'm excited for him. And then just overall, I mean, I'm always excited for these teams' linebackers. And even though I was a big Jalen Graham fan, and I was a little sad to see him go, I do think that the Niners are set up really well there. And I'm excited to see like guys like Tatum Batoon and Curtis Robinson get a lot of special teams run. Because I think they're the type of players who could really actually benefit the Niners on special teams. And that could be a game changer with the new system in place.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was going to mention Bethune as well as like a guy that, you know, you like to see that as a guy, you know, a seventh round draft pick who makes enough noise during training camp. But the team's like, all right, well, we got to keep you around. Jalen Graham, as much as it would have been nice to keep all three of those kind of young guys around, D. Winters and Tatum Bethune and Jalen Graham, in the end, you had to sacrifice somebody because you can keep everybody. And they needed somebody's immediate help kind of guys. It will be very interesting to see how this roster shakes out. If you had to kind of go through and be like, all right, who's your, guys who are technically inactive on game day, and one of them will be one of the quarterbacks. You know that right off the bat. So six other guys who are not going to play on game day. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, I think at this point you could say pretty easily that Ronnie Bell will be one of them. No offense to Ronnie, but I just think that's how that's going to play out. I don't know. I guess maybe Patrick Taylor is a guy, depending on what's going on with Isaac Guerrero. But beyond that, it gets really difficult just because the depth being what it is in different places, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, I think by and large, it's still a pretty good roster. It's just kind of, they just made some weird moves on the edges, as you were kind of alluding to earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is the season of optimism for those people that listen to us as we start. And I'm not forgetting that. This is a really, really good roster. The 49ers had 3 to 4 players off their cuts make it to other NFL teams, which is a perfect sign that you're doing something right as an organization.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we can quibble about some of these things, and these are all like issues should the worst happen, but like a median outcome is that most of the names we mentioned aren't going to really matter much, and the 49ers are just going to be a-okay.
Right. And if those names do matter, then something bad has happened anyway, and the season is probably falling apart.
Exactly.
Like, if we're talking about, like, man, I really wish they'd kept Jalen Graham around, it's like, no offense to Jalen Graham, then the linebacker room is falling apart and we're in real trouble.
Yeah. I mean, the season of optimism, this is how optimism works. If we have to talk about these names, there's no more optimism.
Right. Correct. Correct. You know, on the plus side, again, the roster looks great. And I should say, I think this is the best cornerback group the 49ers have had, I think, since Shanahan has been here. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited for the back end. I'm a little concerned for the front four. I think with Bosa and Floyd, you'll get an interesting combination where you get Bosa kind of creating a lot of the pressure and Floyd cleaning it up. So, like, if I had, like, one hot take on the year, I think I would say that Leonard Floyd ends up with more sacks than Nick Bosa. Simply because Bosa creates, like, an absurd amount of pressure that, like, brings other people into the fold. But I really do think this might be a year that the 49ers defense can actually, like, truly dominate in a way that we haven't seen since 2019. But I think they can be better than that. I think this can be the best defense that the 49ers have had.
I like to hear that. I think the defensive line is probably going to have to work harder. They need more from Javon Hargrave, for example, as like an immediate, like, hey, this guy's making a lot of money and he didn't really produce as much last year. But we'll see. They're gonna need work also. The depth guys are going to be really important here. But as you said, I think if Bosa and Floyd are doing the job, then they should be good to go. All right. Any final thoughts on this roster? I know we've been talking a lot about things all far and wide, but any final thoughts on the roster or anything before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I'm really excited to not
have to talk about the roster anymore. that's my final thought.
Fair.
Is that,
that's fair.
This is fun. I think it's a lot of fun. I think preseason is especially fun for teams that are really like going through the shuffle. There's a lot of chances. And I think, you know, the Niners had some real big like emergences. Jacob Cowan was always going to make the team, but he really popped. Nekurtis Robinson made the team. That's great for him. He's been on the practice squad, I think, for the last 3 seasons or so. So to now get like a roster spot, that's a big deal. Pooney winning the right tackle job. These are all huge developments for this team. But at the end of the day, like, this team is trying to win a Super Bowl. And as a fan, I love the fact that we can like get into the roster, but I'm ready to see them win games and win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, the next time that you hear from us, we'll be getting right back into the swing of the regular season. So that'll be, you know, late next week, middle to late part of next week. It's a Monday night game, so it's a little bit awkward of a start. But we'll be back with you later next week to dive into to game one and really get into it. It's always interesting with game one because you just never know what's going to happen. You could end up in a monsoon in Chicago. And lose a game to a team that you have no business losing to. So there's that. Who knows? We shall see. But until then, we want to say, as always, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com as we transition from training camp into the regular season for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.